What's up, Clippers fans, Clips heads, Clips Nation? Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, William, the Opinion Updike.
Hey guys, I am positive Chuck Mockler today.
Is it positive?
Yeah, I mean,
you're always so wishy-washy with this.
You know, sometimes I want to wear a different hat.
It's going to be on the fence, Charles Mockler, yeah. By the time we get to the end of this podcast. Anyways, guys, welcome to a very special Friday edition.
Yeah.
So we've got we're doing something a little bit different. Normally, we do our division power rankings on Friday. Today, we're going to be doing something I've been teasing all week, which is a ranking of the best purely offensive pure forwards in the Western Conference.
Yeah, no defensive stats. You'll understand why that's important when we get into these rankings. We're going to talk about that. Before that, we're going to talk about the NBA schedule just came out. Clippers have kind of a tough stretch in the beginning. And then right at the end, oh man, everyone's favorite game, Love, Marry, Kill. We're pretty excited about that every single week. So that's going to be coming up right after this.
Hey guys, you're back with Locked On Clippers.
You got like a radio voice going on right now.
I don't know what's wrong with me. It's Friday. It's been a very long week. I have not been sleeping. So yeah, we're going to kick things off. A mere 30 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago,
Yeah. The
NBA schedule was released for the 2017-2018 season. And
Exciting. Like, it's kind of nice to have like a tangible thing to look forward to.
Yeah, yeah.
Just some things that I jotted down, just some quick notes. There's no more instances of 8 games and 12 nights, which is good. That was eliminated. The lowest amount of back-to-backs in the history of the NBA schedule, which is cool. However, the Clippers still have 14 of those.
14 back-to-backs.
Yeah, which seems they're kind of spread out evenly though throughout the season, which I guess is good. In the first 10 games, the Clippers are favored in one of those games, and I believe it's against Dallas.
Oh, wow.
And every other game we're not favored. So, if those first 10 games don't go well, which they evidently probably won't, the playoff push is going to be hard because we're going to be in such a big hole maybe. We legitimately might go 2-8 in those first 10 games.
Yeah.
Which is just a tough way to start.
Yeah, I think figuring out favorites and stuff, it's still so speculative. We haven't seen how all these teams, like every team has new pieces. I mean, obviously, yeah. You know, we're no exception. But we don't know how those are going to work out. You know, our learning curve could be a little bit shorter. You know, we could sneak up on a lot of people. Last year, I loved when the Clippers like got a real strong start right mm-hmm. away, and everyone was like, "Oh, what's
hey the Magic these guys? Went 6-2 last year or something like that in the first
yeah they were games. Number one in the East. I think they went 4-0 at the to start the season. So anything can happen, guys.
Other than that beginning, the schedule looks fairly even. Like there's not too many brutal stretches of, like, Houston, Golden State, San Antonio, OKC, and then, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I did see a brief stretch in December, I think, like, the middle to the end of December, where there's, like, an 8-game stretch where we could probably win every single game.
Nice. I'm comforted in that. Some important dates are Austin Rivers returns with the Wizards on October 28th.
Oh, well, that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, that's 11 days after our opener, which is October 17th. DeAndre comes back on December 20th, which I would go see that game. That'd probably be a fun game.
And then I'll probably come for the Austin Rivers return because it's going to be a cheap game.
Yeah. I think also the
Mavs. Not a lot of Wizards fans really here in Los Angeles. No offense.
And then Blake comes back on February 2nd. I don't think any... I kind of like how everyone's split because I don't think there's going to be... It's not going to be like when a player comes back and gets booed by everybody. I think all these guys are going to be pretty welcomed.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see any reason really why...
I'm excited for the tributes. I hope they make a tribute for each guy. Blake and DeAndre's is going to be sweet.
Yeah.
Austin's will probably just be that one game in the playoffs where he got beat up a ton and was bleeding everywhere, which was cool. So schedule seems fun. I'm just kind of worried. Those first 10 games kind of freak me out. It's just so hard so quick, I feel like, with kind of a new team that's gelling.
That's true, and it's definitely discouraging, too, to start off kind of in a hole. Like,
yeah.
It's not where you want to be.
No, I think I'm going to actually try and make all three of those return games. I think those would be really cool games to try and go to this year.
Definitely.
What was the other note that I wrote down? Oh, yeah, only 3 nationally televised games for the Clippers this year. 3 games on TNT. That's it. I think there was something like, I think 85% of all the Lakers games are on ABC, TNT, or something like that.
That, yeah, totally.
Which checks out. But going to be kind of a tough season just to start off with either way. But I think that's pretty much the only news that's really happened. And now we can get into something that my co-host, The Opinion, has been very excited about. Offensive front court ratings for the Western Conference.
Yeah, this has been kind of my baby. So I was looking at our combination, obviously, of Tobias and Gallo post
the World Game. And we're stipulating pure forwards. So we're not... Will, you didn't take into account, like, centers playing the four or anything.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That,
and
right?
I know that this gets a little bit muddy with position basketball. So, like, the intent was to look at players that really are true forwards. Like, really are true threes
and
fours.
Or threes and a halves.
Yeah, or threes and a halves. Not like, you know, twos who sometimes play the three or whatever. So some of these numbers, in your opinion, could be skewed.
And this is pure offense.
This is sheer offense. It's not really accounting for anything else, because who cares?
Who cares if you get...
Who cares? And a lot of these numbers are also, like... we're not accounting for a whole lot of crazy fluctuations from next year, mm-hmm. which with some of these guys with forwards who are in their second, third, and fourth years, yeah. you know, there really could be a larger uptick. But I think that these rankings are still pretty representative for what we're going for.
There's a couple surprising ones, which I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is...
Let's start with top five.
Let's start with bottom five.
Bottom five? All
yeah, because right. I think the bottom five...
it's kind of surprising.
Two you would expect, and the other three, mm-hmm. I personally was pretty surprised.
So, the worst was the Kings.
And this is a little bit up for speculation, between them and the second to last place team, purely because it looks like Bagley is most likely going to start next to Bogdanovic.
Yeah.
Both young guys. We don't know what Bagley's going to do.
Yeah, Bogdan averaged 11-3-3.
Mm-hmm. And in college, which, I mean, does this count for anything? Bagley averaged 21-11-5.
Which
is not happening in the NBA.
It might.
It's not happening.
But so that, I mean, we can mark that down to, could we have that? Could we say
That's
10,
essentially what I did. Yeah, yeah, is I have that. Which I still think could maybe be optimistic, just depending on the type of player he is right yeah. out the gate.
But it's safe to assume I think it'll be around half that.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say at their absolute peak, they're probably like 16-7-4.
Combined.
But that's, yeah, combined. And that's like for their average. But I would guess that the number is going to be lower than that, which is why we're still keeping them at the bottom rank.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to call in and think that we're insane for that. The next one is the one that surprised me the most, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was very surprising. So second to last place team, in terms of, once again, forwards.
Pure offense,
is actually the Blazers.
Yeah. Mo Harkless, Al-Farouq Aminu, combining for 15-10-3.
Yeah. Low.
Very low. I was kind of talking to my friend about how it feels like the Blazers are in pre-self-destruct mode.
Yeah.
It feels like this season is going to be the unraveling ball of the entire team.
Yeah, and they are, I mean, they're clearly, I would see their foil as being someone like the Raptors, where they're, yeah, they're a real backcourt heavy team.
Right? Sure.
The Raptors less so now, but
yeah,
yeah, real backcourt heavy team. So I feel like it leaves you a little thinner at those other positions, especially they just dropped some decent money to keep Nurk.
Which was a good idea.
You
can't let him walk in that situation.
And you could argue these guys' defensive prowess to maybe move this combination of forwards up on
but,
a different list.
That's, we're just talking all offense.
You know, this is an offensive-based ranking. So, yeah, I thought I was pretty surprised
Kings,
at that.
Blazers, I was surprised by that. This one, the next one, didn't jump out of the page. The Grizzlies, Kyle Anderson, 8-5-3, Jermichael Green, 10-8-1.
Yeah.
Averaging 8-12-2, a little better than I actually thought it was going to be.
Totally.
But,
and this could improve. You know, Kyle Anderson is still pretty young.
He'll get more time.
Yeah, he'll get more time. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to work better in this system, but he'll get more touches.
yeah. So based on pure volume, he'll probably get one. This is the one that you've been talking about a while, the number 12 team.
Yeah, so I've been teasing this for a while, and the number 12 ranked team in terms of forwards of pure offensive ability is actually the Rockets. And this number is accounting for Melo, And without this Melo boost, they are the worst.
The worst.
They were the worst.
Which is PJ Tucker and Ryan Anderson, which would have combined for 14-10-2.
Yes.
And with Carmelo, it is 22-11-2.
Yeah.
So
anyone who says that Melo like isn't an improvement on the Rockets, you're wrong. I'm sorry. He is an improvement for sure.
And it's but still only bumps him up to the 12th best offensive front court.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, that one really kind of got me, and they lost depth.
Yeah.
So it's just like it's another thing that really seems like the Rockets are setting up to kind of be disappointed this year.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah, I mean, they could surprise us, and they could utilize these players in a different way, and they still might add. I would not be surprised if they still added another, like, wing guy.
100%. They're committed to winning right now.
Yeah.
Because they have to be.
Yeah, as we've said, their win now window is, you know, it's kind of this season.
Yeah. Number 11 is the Jazz.
Which... this one also really surprised me.
I thought they would have been more in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not too far off.
They're pretty close to the middle of the pack. They're just a little bit outside of it. And, you know, a lot of people right now are projecting the Jazz as a top five team. No disrespect to David Locke, our employer. I don't see it.
What do you think, just outside?
I think just
outside. Top 10.
Oh, they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
For sure.
100%.
I just don't see them being seeded higher than six. I mean, maybe they could hit that five spot, but I think a lot would really have to go right.
It would be great if David Locke's spidey sense was tingling and he just called us right now to talk to us about these rankings. But yeah, that's Derek Favors and Joe Ingles averaging a combined 23-11-6, which also I think playoff Ingles is a different beast than regular season Ingles. Just from what I didn't watch a lot of Jazz games last year, I only watched them in the playoffs. But watching Ingles in the playoffs, you were like, yeah, why didn't this guy average more points during the regular season? Not that it was his fault or anything.
Definitely. But, and, you know, you could also argue, like, the more well-roundedness or defensive ability of these players. That's not this list.
Yeah.
Not this list.
That, I was surprised Derek Favors averaged almost a double-double.
Yeah.
That's pretty, he averaged 12-7-1. And then, rounding out the bottom third.
We got the Pelicans. And once again, this is assuming, to me, Anthony Davis is a center. And I realize that he plays at different positions. I think that like his body and his game is a modern center.
4+
for sure.
But for these rankings, this is a 3 and 4.
Yeah, so this is based on Mirotić and Etuan Moore, both pretty solid dudes. Mirotić averaging 15-7-4 and Etuan Moore averaging 12-3-2 for a combined average of 27-10-6, which is respectable.
And I think Mirotić's numbers will actually go up. I'm excited to see what happens with them. I mean, obviously they didn't have Boogie for very long at all last year.
Yeah.
But now it really seems like they're going to gel into even better of a system. I wish they wouldn't have lost Rondo. That sucks for them.
Yeah, I do think that is a bummer. I'm excited to see Julius Randle. I do think them...
Yeah.
I think that Mirotić midseason trade last year was one of the best things the Pelicans have done.
And they got Julius Randle for so cheap. I think every single team in the league was jealous when they saw the Julius Randle contract.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like everyone wants... Every rational person should want Julius Randle on their team. And I think him adding to this, the Pelicans are probably going to surprise a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
This year, kind of like they did last year.
And just above the Pelicans at number 9, I've got the Nuggets with Paul Millsap, who numbers are projected around 14-6-2. I would actually expect a climb in that because he was injured last year, which did kind of affect those numbers. So I would guess that he would find his swing a little bit more and we would see that number go up. And then also Will Barton, who can be offensively and defensively a very calm, like a perplexing player.
Yeah.
But yeah, they combine for an average of 30-11-6, which, you know, is by all numbers a jump from... We're getting more into the true middle of the pack here.
Yeah.
Do you want to take the number 8?
Yeah, number 8 is the Thunder with Paul George and Jeremy Grant. Paul George averaging 22-5-3. Amazing. Jeremy Grant, 8-4-1. So we obviously can tell which person needs to step up their offense for the Thunder. I think Jeremy Grant's numbers will go up just from sheer playing time.
Yeah.
And I actually think Paul George's numbers will go up too because he now has a season under his belt. And he loves playing with Westbrook, apparently.
Yeah, it also won't be as confusing, like, what option number he is, you know?
Yeah,
like, there's less guys to be so ball dominant. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I would expect an uptick in kind of both of those guys' numbers. Above them, which actually surprised me.
This was the most surprising one for me.
Yeah.
100%.
Number seven.
Six. Oh, sorry, number seven. I totally derailed that.
Wow. Okay, the rankings are over, guys. No. At number seven, are you still... Is this the one that's still totally surprised
you? No, six is the one
you?
That totally surprised
All right, so
you.
Charles wasn't surprised by this one at all.
This
but,
one made sense.
Number seven is the Mavs, with Dirk still pushing out a very productive 12-6-2.
12-6-2.
And Harrison Barnes averaging 19-6-2, which is... Harry Barnes, man. Way to go.
Harry Barnes? He should go by Harry, dude. That's more depressing just from a Harrison Barnes standpoint. I'm like, you're only making seven more points a game than 49-year-old Dirk Nowitzki. He's like 49.
Yeah, but I would see Dirk's numbers possibly declining a little bit and Harry's
increasing.
So they're combining for this season for something around 31-12-4.
Do we call Harrison Barnes Harry on this podcast?
Harry Barnable.
Okay, that's a choice that I'm happy we're making. Now that we are...
The real shocker for Charles.
The real shocker, so sorry for my slip-up, is the Suns at number six.
So this also surprised me. I think that TJ Warren is right now very underrated.
Evidently, he's averaging 25-1, which it's really funny that people can average one of anything. And then Josh Jackson at 13-5-2 to combine for 33-10-3. I expect the three to go up this year. And if Josh Jackson can figure out his shooting, I think these guys... offensively could be, I mean, they're already almost top five, but they could maybe even be top three.
Totally.
With Ayton there, I think that's going to help their ball movement. And so, and just maybe open some stuff up. And if TJ Warren can capitalize on last year, they could be an offensive brute.
Definitely.
I would say.
Definitely. Cool. And then, so we're getting into the top five right now. Bottom of the top five. Still great. We got the Spurs with LaMarcus averaging an insane 23-8-2.
Man, he was so great for them last year.
Yeah, his field goal percentage was 51%.
Wow.
And he's still at just a tick under 30 for three from three, which I think is great for a big man.
Yeah.
And then Rudy Gay at 11-5-1. And so they're averaging for 34-13-3 about.
That makes sense to me. I think those numbers might go up because DeRozan's on the team now.
Yeah. And these guys, I think this would, if we were doing an all around list, I would have to have the Spurs at the forward position probably close to the five or six in the
Pretty
league,
strong.
Right? From all around. Maybe Absolutely. I mean, if not, maybe a little higher.
I would agree.
But probably right in this range if you were to do an all around list, which I mean get out of here.
Then coming in real hot at number four.
Kind of the reason you might expect the list to be skewed this very specific way.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
Number four for the best forwards in the Western Conference in terms of sheer offense is...
The Los Angeles Clippers, ladies and gentlemen.
Way to go, guys. We did it.
Tobias Harris at 18-5-2. Gallinari at 17-5-2. Averaging 35-10-4. Love it. Very small sample size with Gallinari.
Very small sample size. Also, this might only sustain for all of seven games.
Yeah, but right now we're riding that wave, baby. I think Tobias is going to make a big jump this year. I think both these guys can average 20 points a game.
Yeah, and these numbers are also coming. They're based off of Gallo's last year numbers where he did struggle a little bit. So I would see both of these guys improving offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, I would see us. Realistically and possibly the three spot from a purely offensive standpoint.
Purely offensive. And then to get to the three spot, we would have to overtake the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep. And that combo of Butler and Taj Gibson is averaging...
What year is this?
is averaging 34-12-6, projected, which is great, respectable, you know?
I don't really see them moving too much. If anything, I think they'll go down.
Yeah, totally.
Age
and injuries.
They got a lot of miles.
And injuries. I think we've briefly talked about it, but Jimmy Butler's operation last year, they opted to shave off a little part of the...
They didn't do the...
The full repair.
There was two options.
Yeah.
They could have done the full repair. They didn't, which, whatever.
It decreases... So he was able to return in time for the playoffs. However, you know, like the structural integrity is not as strong if they would have done a full repair of the knee, which, you know, his age, he's not that old. I don't see why you wouldn't just do that.
And they're one injury away from just...
Collapsing.
Not making the playoffs.
Totally collapsing. Yeah, they almost didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Number two?
Not really a surprise here. I mean,
yeah.
You haven't heard... I think number one is a surprise, but number two, Warriors.
Yeah, which, you know, makes sense. Durant 26-7-5, Draymond 11-8-7, combining for 37-15-12. So, Can't really, I mean, nothing to say there other than those are probably going to stay the same, if not go up.
Yeah.
Number one was a surprise.
I was very surprised at this. I mean, not very surprised, but it was impressive.
It's more funny. I think I was more surprised of like, oh yeah, that's kind of funny.
So at number one, the best front court in terms of sheer offense is our rivals, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Which they added, hold on, let me check who they added this offseason. Oh, LeBron James.
Yes, that young man.
Who brings them 27-8-9.
And I was actually pretty impressed with Ingram's numbers last year. He averaged 16-5-3, and I also think that he's going to make a jump this year, man.
I think everyone on that team does, just from playing with LeBron.
Yeah.
And Rondo, who's the smartest basketball player of all time.
Yeah.
So they combined for 43-11-12. I can see them staying here. We'll revisit these rankings, obviously. I can see them staying here, but I don't see them falling past 4.
No way.
I think they're for sure going to stay up top. So the front courts in the Western Conference are kind of volatile in terms of who you think should be good.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Very stacked. And like 9 through 3, like, are all like, they're pretty close in terms of offensive production.
One and two are pretty far away from everyone else.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes sense. It's one of the greatest teams ever assembled. And then the other side is one of the greatest players ever assembled by the gods of basketball.
Yeah, like, definitely.
So I think that's tough. I think we can all agree, though, that Clippers are going to number one. They're already at number four. Why can't we be number one, you know?
Who's to say? We can have nice things, too, you know?
We absolutely can have nice things. That closes out the rankings. Very great job, Will. Wonderful. I mean, he set up this whole spreadsheet.
Great content.
That's what you can expect from Locked On Clippers. Right now, we got a couple minutes left. We're going to get into our favorite segment on Fridays. Love, Marry, Kill.
Love, Marry, Kill. A new way to look at your squad in a whole new light.
I'm going to go ahead and go first. We're just going to knock these out kind of quick. Here's who I'm loving. Trez.
I mean, how could you not?
Who doesn't? I love his game. He's committed.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it'd be like that first college love type thing.
Yeah, I feel like you would forget to have meals. You'd be so infatuated. You know what I'm talking
about? Exactly. That'd be great. I'm marrying Angel Delgado.
Wow, you are all in on
this
guy.
I'm all in Angel Delgado. He's a mature guy. He knows what you're in store for. He played all 4 years at college. He's in it for the long haul. He's constantly improving. I think if you were ever going through a rough patch, he'd be like, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to go talk to somebody? Do you just want to go for a hike? We can solve this any way we need to.
He'd be open to like going to see a therapist or something?
100%.
Wow. Whatever you gotta like that.
Whatever needs to get the job done, he'll get it done. Avery Bradley, I want to kill. Too smothering. Defensive pawn. You're welcome, everybody.
Wow.
I think he would be too serious. I think he would love too much.
I see.
And not let you blossom into what you were supposed to be.
You would feel smothered by Avery Bradley's
love. I would feel
love.
Smothered. Just like all those other players are going to feel smothered by his perimeter defense next year.
Hey.
Thanks, everybody. That's my love, marry, kill.
All right, I got to do this rapidly because we're running out of time, but my love right now is the Prince, Luke, Rashard, and Mbamute.
That makes sense. He's royalty.
I love him. I don't know. I'm still worried about the shoulder. I don't know if I'm really ready to commit to a long-term thing. I really want to. My heart is there.
He wants those hugs. He can't hug you with a hurt shoulder.
He can't hug me with that hurt shoulder. I'm going to marry, and you know what? Last week, I didn't want to put my heart on the line.
I disagree.
I'm throwing everything on the line for this guy. I want to marry Lou Williams.
I would not be at this wedding because I know that this wedding would not last.
It's not a sham. It's true love. And I feel like a child yelling at their rational father, but we're going to get married and everyone is going to be proven wrong.
Well, you're going to have to also be fine with polyamory because Lou Williams has multiple girlfriends.
So. You know what? He's worth it.
Hey, it's your life. You can ruin it if you want.
And I'm going to kill Gortat. And I'm excited to watch him play this year. I think that he does add some interesting, well-rounded things. He's not staying.
Man, you have a truly insane list.
He's not going to be around.
I mean, I like the Luke pick, but I think I would switch Gortat and Lou Will because Lou Will's just going to break your dang heart.
You know what? He's worth it, all right? And you don't know him like I know him.
So that was our lightning quick round of Love, Marry, Kill. That segment works long form or short form, I think.
I love it.
We're going to be doing game previews for the weekends during the season of Love, Marry, Kill with the other teams we'll be playing.
We're going to mix some things up and try to keep it varied for you guys, try to keep it fresh.
Yeah, but that's all we got for you guys today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
If you're a local business or any West Coast business that'd like to advertise when you're looking to reach some big NBA fans or Clips heads, please let us know.
Let us know. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Thanks, guys.